Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It is Wednesday, February 24th. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And lots to discuss today. Let's see if I can center myself in the video screen here.
So obviously I'm not close to center when I'm behind this backboard.
Hey, but hey, you've at least got something to fill up the space. I got nothing. So hey, let's talk about today. We were kind of scrambling trying to figure out, all right, what is actually worth talking about? Because as you all know, the format of the show is more sports bar than it is a radio show. And, you know, we want to have things that are actually interesting. How many people are really talking about coaching hires and this and that if it's, you know, a special teams coordinator or a co-defensive coordinator from Purdue going to Penn State? You know, that kind of stuff. Who cares, right? So, the biggest topics of the day, that's typically what we try and do here. We've got some funny ones. We've got some interesting stuff. So, we're going to talk, you know, Tiger and J.J. Watt and baseball and whatever else. So, we will get into it. First things first, winningcureseverything.com is the website. If you would like to find out anything about us, along with any of the other shows that we do, et cetera, that is your one-stop shop. Go ahead and check that out. It's got everywhere that you need to be subscribed, everywhere that you need to follow us, et cetera, et cetera. So go over to winningcureseverything.com. All of our college football gambling content can be found at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. You can see the banners scrolling on the video. If you're watching, if you're listening, the link will be in the description, very easy to find. And if you missed the live show for whatever reason, you can always get the podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast app is, it's all right there. And you can find that over on the website as well. Casey jumps in. What's up, fam? Have you guys done film study yet? I'm ready to see you guys do a live mock draft. Hey, I've been doing one for, PFF has a, their own mock thing. Have you tried that yet?
No.
It's interesting. So I've done multiple teams. You can set the randomness way up. You can set team needs way up, all that kind of stuff, and you get different grades and all that. So I have not gotten anything lower than a B-. So, and I've done probably 15 of them, but that might be worth, you know, checking out. Maybe we'll do a live mock draft one day, but we will probably get closer to April before we start that. I mean, we're in February. Yeah. So lots to talk about. In the world of sports right now, we're not even hitting on college basketball or the NBA or any of that stuff, and there's still news. So with that said, let's go ahead and dive into the biggest topic of the day, and that would be one Sir Eldrick Woods had a car accident yesterday morning, apparently careened off of a hill. The pictures looked awful, and it took the jaws of life to get him out.
That's not true. That's an overreaction. They cut it. It was terrible. It was terrible.
I thought the sheriff
was scary.
I thought the sheriff had a statement that said that it was the jaws.
No, he didn't have a statement. That's what people said. This is why Twitter's the worst place for some of this stuff. Sometimes they cut him out of the windshield. Okay. They cut the windshield out. They pulled him out of the windshield. You don't need the jaws of life for that. Jaws of life are this massive, huge piece of machinery that they use. It just makes for better writing. It makes for better headline writing. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. And it's kind of a sick thing that journalists do.
I would tend to agree with that.
Like a real sick thing.
I thought that was a real thing from the sheriff's department.
Nope. So, okay. Nope, then that's just something a journalist said that what they were told
became
they were absolutely not told that, and that's not what happened. That's fine. It was a horrific accident.
Yes.
You don't have to You don't have to make something that was terrible sound more terrible.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree
because
with that.
Now when you tell the truth about it, it sounds like I'm downplaying it. I'm not. It was a horrible thing. He could have died.
Yes. No, he, so what was it? It was a, like he shattered his ankle and
compound fracture on the leg and shattered his ankle.
Yeah. Which is,
unbelievable that those are the only two major injuries he had. He's rehabbing from a back injury. I'm sure whatever they just fixed is, re-effed. Like it is completely unfixed. Yep. But no, terrible thing. Shattered, and I think the ankle and the leg are the same leg, right? Same foot.
Yes.
They're not different. So, you know, he's lucky as hell.
That's Terry jumping in with awful, awful stuff. It must have been distracted looking at the map for the closest Denny's. Actual news, and maybe this wasn't true, but I saw this from multiple people, and maybe they all just got it from the same person. He was on the way to meet Drew Brees.
Right? It was supposed to be a photo shoot with Drew Brees and Josh. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
The quarterback for the for the Chargers. Holy crap.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
Okay. Yeah. That would make sense.
We've talked about Josh Heupel a lot, and that's what I wanted to say. And I was like, okay, I know that's not it. That's the new coach of Tennessee, but this name is stuck in my head, and I can't get anything out. I got the initials right, JH, and I was close.
Yep.
This is what dyslexia does. It just messes with your brain a little bit.
So it's possible he was just late and was, you know, going faster than he should have been. And
so there's one thing that I've been driving for a long time, okay?
Yeah.
And I drive a lot now for the past, man, I don't know, 6 years of my life. No, maybe more than that. When I was in the security business, at least a decade and maybe the last 12 years of my adult life, I put about 200 miles a day on a vehicle. Okay. Yeah. I'm on roads. I've driven like a bat out of hell. I've driven like grandma as I was falling asleep and half tired and trying to make it home. I've driven a lot. I've driven a lot of different vehicles. I've never lost control of a vehicle. You know, you hear people talk about how he lost control of a vehicle. Man, I've been going fast before. I don't know what that feeling is like. I don't know what that experience is. And I don't know what you have to do to lose control, especially of modern vehicles, because they're made with so many safety features in them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going the wrong way on an interstate for a good distance before he finally went off the road.
All the news.
I know
that came
people
out
do
it
all the time. Okay. I know people lose control of the vehicle all the time. I know it happens. This is not a shot at Tiger. I just don't know what that feeling's like. Have you ever lost control of your vehicle?
No.
Have you been in a vehicle that lost control?
No.
I haven't either.
I have been called a mama the way that I drive.
No, so I'm not a mama.
I used to get a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot of tickets. I was pulled over frequently. We talked about this last summer on the show when we were doing this every day. When I had long hair and all that kind of stuff, I used to drive fairly recklessly. I wrecked one of my buddy's vehicles, but that was more somebody pulling out in front of me, trying to turn from another lane, all that kind of, it was just a disaster. But I wrecked one of my friend's vehicles when I was like 18. It was just a lot of different stuff. I've had multiple speeding tickets. I've gotten pulled over for all kind of different stuff. And because of that experience, you know, I'll typically go
slow down. That's fine.
I've slowed down a lot, and I'm much more defensive on the road than I used to be.
So I'm not defensive at all, but I have, the older I've gotten, I've slowed down a lot. Okay. Slowed down a lot, but I used to drive like a bat out of hell, and I've always been an aggressive driver. I would always rather get away from other cars, which means I'm going to bob and weave through traffic until I got free air. And I will still do that. And I'm sure karma's going to come back and get my ass in the next 6 months. I'm going to lose control and end up dead, and that's fine. But I can't do anything about it. I just don't know what that's like. And I don't know how you do that. We had a friend we went to high school with, guy named Caleb, guy named Barrett. They were two of my best friends in high school. Okay. Gary went a completely different way. We didn't even talk in high school. When we were driving, at some point in time, we'd just be driving down the road, and whoever's sitting on the passenger seat, I was sometimes this person, Barrett was sometimes this person, Caleb was someone, and it doesn't matter who's driving or whose car, we would just randomly reach over and grab the steering wheel and jerk it down.
Yeah.
Just randomly grab the steering wheel and jerk it down just to see what the driver would do.
That we Terry used to do that to me all the time.
And that, Barrett jumps in on the show. Finally got to a point where Barrett would just, when we would jerk it, I jerked it down from him once. And he just let his hands go off the wheel. And I immediately go into panic mode. And now I'm like from the passenger seat trying to steer this thing back to where we don't kill ourselves. We've done stuff like that. Now it was obviously in high school, and this is the reason, you know, 16-year-olds insurance are super high. They absolutely should be super high. I remember saying, that's not fair. And now I'm almost a 40-year-old man. I'm like, hell yeah, it should have been double what a 40-year-old man's insurance are. Yes. You're an idiot.
Yes, because those kids are idiots. That's the way
it goes. But we never lost control. And those were old cars then. I mean, those were cars that were like my pickup truck was an 82. It was made when I was born.
I do think that those cars might have been a little bit more sturdy.
No. Modern cars now, it's not about sturdy. It's traction safety. Control. Yeah. It's the braking. Oh, no. They were tanks. They were made of steel.
Yeah.
And yes, they were sturdy, but that's what can lose control, because that's a lot of weight going in one direction trying to train. These cars now weigh nothing.
Yeah. No, that's a valid point. Jumping into the chat here, John Carter said, no matter what comes out in regards to his sobriety, most people won't believe it or accept it. He has that stigma around him from previous incidents. Well, there's only really been one other incident, and he went into rehab for it. It was the pain medication and whatnot. And it's irresponsible to immediately jump to that, right? Especially for me.
I don't know if that's irresponsible. I think that's understandable. If somebody's had a problem with drugs in the past, and just because he had one wreck and got caught once doesn't mean he's only been on drugs once. This is something he's done for a long period of his life.
I think for guys that are just sharing their opinion, no, that's totally fine to question things. I think for media to immediately jump to it.
You shouldn't report. You shouldn't question that until you have any kind of, publicly. But like in our group chat, that was my first question was this.
Yeah. And that's totally fair.
I hope he's okay. I hope nobody else was involved. And then after those two things are checked off, man, I really hope he was sober.
Yeah.
I really hope. 'Cause that's the first place my brain went.
Oh yeah. I mean, of course it's the first thing that anybody thinks of right off the bat. It's like 7 a.m. Like what, you know, where is he going?
There's a golfing event this weekend in California, which is what he was for. He was there doing like
promo stuff.
Promo stuff, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And like there's a video that he was on. I watched that interview. I mean, he looked baked out of his gourd in that interview. And that was literally either day before this happened or 2 days before it happened.
I think it was 2 days, but it was on that
and
Sunday.
And everybody, right? I mean, it was going through Twitter like, man, Tiger is blitzed.
he was with Dwayne Wade the day before playing. Like, he looked perfectly fine in the video from the day before.
Yes.
So, I mean, who knows, right? Now, the L.A. County Sheriff said he was not drunk during the crash. It was purely an accident.
But he's never had a problem with alcohol.
That's the problem.
We always want to symbol one thing and make that the devil. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's never had a problem with alcohol ever. When he doesn't drink, that's not his devil.
When he had the issue before, it was pain pills. And
man, it wasn't just pain pills, man. It was like Lauden. I mean, it was hardcore narcotics.
Yeah.
And it's
opioids. Right, like that's what it was, and of course that's a major problem in this country anyway, thanks to the pharmaceutical companies and the people that just kind of give them out like candy.
That's right.
But you know, that whole thing, like what happened years ago, obviously it's going to make you think that might be involved this go around. We don't have an answer on that. We do know that he was not drunk. There was no alcohol in his system, so who knows.
That was never my worry. Was he drunk? It was 7 a.m. Jesus.
Yep. Casey said that he fell asleep driving after a long fishing trip, woke up going 55 on the other side of the road in the grass, said he took out a tractor and totaled his 2017 Ford Focus. It was only 20,000 miles on it. Shake my damn head. And then he said he was miraculously not hurt at all, but even though I had full coverage, got screwed out of about $5,000. Now I'm driving a 2014 Cadillac CT with 120,000 miles. Don't drive tired, people. It's scary as hell.
No, and that's that. I would say that is my problem, is because I drive so much and I leave the house early and I'll get home late sometimes, man. Or when I, you know, God, this is the worst thing, because I take my family shit places. You know, we travel at night. You know, the wife gets off work on Friday and we're out of here, man. I got the car packed and we are driving, and I basically drive as far as I can drive and then find the closest hotel. And that's a rough way to be.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's I typically try and plan those things so that I have like a point that I know that I can get to. Right. Yeah. And then that way I try not to risk it too much and whatnot. So I used to drive tired all the time, man, because when we were touring, like,
we got late night shows. That's when you play.
We didn't have. Yeah, and then we had shows that were 10 hours away and we had to be there for, you know, 2 p.m. load in the next day. Show gets done at, you know, 12 o'clock the night before. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Terry said,
that's what you have to do.
Terry said, remember whenever Huey would pull the e-brake from the back seat, he said, mine snapped on my old car. Yeah, I had a 92 Honda Accord that the e-brake was just completely gone on. I mean, it was just, they'd pull that thing, and for the first few times, it, you know, it'd give a little jerk, and then you'd smell stuff. It's like, what the hell? But then, eventually, they'd pull that thing, and there's just nothing left. So it was like, okay, well, this isn't funny.
I don't know that I've ever had the last car I had before I started getting trucks for work was a Honda Accord. I think that's the first and only vehicle I've ever had that had, like, the e-brake. Everything else has been the foot pedal brake.
Yep.
So y'all couldn't have screwed me up.
Well, I think they did that. Well, I would assume they would do that because they didn't want other people pulling the e-brake. But
that's just how trucks have been made forever. It's just always a pedal on the floor.
Terry said he was driving on 78 last week in the snow. He said that was fun. Almost lost it one time.
There's no way. No. This is not a snow-induced thing. Yeah. No. If you lose control because of weather, we're not talking about that. We're just not, because that's a totally different deal.
Yeah. Terry also brought up when he and David, you remember David from high school.
I know David.
They used to play bumper cars if they saw each other at a stoplight. He said we'd hit the hell out of each other and then drive off.
God. We were such idiots.
Yeah, you better believe that. You better believe that. So, with all of this, I don't want to get to it just yet, but with the back issues, now with leg issues and whatnot, he's not going to be able to go on the golf course this year. But at this point, I think it's safe to say probably we are not going to get Tiger beating Jack Nicklaus's records and all that, right? Like, is the comeback done?
He's still the greatest golfer to ever live. He's still the greatest golfer to ever live. If the last, I heard Tony Kornheiser, who's a golf fanatic, talk about this on his podcast today. If the last time we got to see Tiger Woods in a competitive match, okay, in a competitive tournament, was while he was playing alongside his son, which is what we got to see this year, then that's the way this thing should end. And that's okay. That's an unbelievable ending to what was a remarkable start and stardom from just beginning until the collapse, all time stardom. And then the comeback story of winning the Masters in 19.
That's what I was going to say. If that is the last real, you know, major tournament that we see him competitive in, that at least we have that memory and not, you know, the crap from before all the stuff with his ex-wife, right?
That's right.
So I like that. Terry said I stole that Honda.
I like,
yeah, he did.
Yeah. I like the last tournament he played in, he really played in, was the tournament he played alongside with his son.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. We got to see Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Tom Brady during the pandemic. Sure. That was entertaining. That brought some smiles.
This is a weird transition. We didn't intend on talking to this. Is there anybody else we can? Does it have to be somebody who's old and been playing for a long time? Can we pair anybody else with Phil to do these matches?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can bring Justin Thomas. Like, there's a lot of guys.
If you get a legit pro, they're going to beat the hell out of Phil. Have you seen Phil play against pros?
Yeah, that's
a good point. Barely making cuts. And these are against professionals. No. Phil beats the shit out of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, Steph Curry. Yeah, because he's a professional. But the top of the line pros that you would get are all light years better than Phil right now.
What we would need is entertaining former golfers.
Yes, we need somebody else who's a retired golfer. But the problem is one of the reasons people will say Tiger had such a dominant run was outside of Phil, man, he didn't have anybody push him. And that is true, by the way. That you have to take things where they were, okay? His run, you know, it's a lot like those old Celtics teams where you look back and you know, they got 8 championships in like 10 years. Yeah. Because they were one of, and there were only like 8 teams competing.
I don't see. No, I mean, no, there's not. Like, there's nobody that would bring a crowd the way that Tiger would.
No, nobody's going to bring a crowd, but there's plenty of young golfers that could play with him, and some of them are great on camera. These guys are really polished and good. The issue you're going to get is it ain't going to be very competitive. Unless
that's what I was saying.
You do a bunch of trick shot stuff in there because they're a lot. I mean, even if you take, like, Ricky Fowler's never won a major, okay? He's one of my favorite golfers in the world. I'm not going to say he's my favorite, and he's been my favorite for a long time. Love Fowler. We're giving them. Fowler is consistently a top 5, top 10 guy, though. Like, I don't know that he got what it takes to put 4 days together to win. Fowler's great on camera. He's funny. He's likable. He's got a lot of Phil in him outside of the fact that Phil was able to win, and Fowler just can't get over the hump of beating all of these guys because the field is so good. But Fowler's light years ahead of Phil. Light years ahead of him.
What about John Daly?
Now it's a spectacle and it wouldn't be as a respectable thing. See, Tiger gets a second chance. John Daly doesn't get a second chance because John Daly hasn't ever changed who he is. Now, it would be entertaining as hell. And there's a market of people who would love it. But I don't think that's different. Now that's the name. That's the guy that would bring the eyeballs and would play. Now Phil's probably a lot better than John Daly, but it would be fun and it would be entertaining. The problem that you're going to get is I don't know that the people who put these on want to deal with John Daly.
Probably not. You're not going to be able to.
Yeah, that's a guy that's probably been blacklisted from golf.
Probably so. Well, I'm glad that we have at least gotten to see, you know, some of that stuff from Tiger towards the end of his career, rather than him just fading off into the distance. You know,
we're glad he's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, there's a world where he could have not survived this.
Oh, 100%.
You know, there's a world where the
pictures looked awful, man. I could not believe.
I'll tell you this:
he was awake. From that,
you know the reason. You know the reason he's driving that Genesis is because they pay him to drive that Genesis, and I'm gonna tell you, Genesis is having a good day because there's a lot of other vehicles out there that he doesn't walk away from that.
No, you're 100% right about that.
The safety features on that to where he just blew up one leg, and that's it from that. Holy crap!
Yeah, that's pretty insane. Pretty insane.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on. Let's talk a little NFL. J.J. Watt with the cryptic tweet yesterday. Let me actually read what it says.
It's just 3 words.
It's a little more than that. 7:54 a.m. on Tuesday, he tweeted out, "Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell."
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, everybody has taken this every which direction you could possibly take it. A lot of people, like Katie Nolan, responded to it and was like, counterpoint, and put a YouTube video up that said mitochondria aren't just the powerhouse of the cell. But Mina Kimes, I thought, had the most interesting thoughts on it because
yes.
she found a graphic that said energy equals mitochondria. And then she tagged a picture of First Energy Stadium, which is in Cleveland. Now, Buffalo Bills fans were going insane because the lead mitochondria research center in the United States is located in Buffalo, New York.
So well, she did more than just mitochondria. Energy equals mitochondria. She also took cell.
Oh, and that's
then,
right.
So, yeah, the cells, and then she dropped one of the L's, so you got CEL, and then she switched the L and the E, and you got Cleve for Cleveland. No, so she did a thing. I'm gonna tell you right now that Mia Kimes is the best NFL media coverage person out there. I'm a huge Kevin Clark fan. They're 1-2.
Kevin Clark is not nearly as entertaining as
she is. The funniest. Her wit is better than anybody who covers sports, anybody in any journalism at all. She is quick. She is funny. She's smart. I really, really, really like her stuff. You could have locked the smartest, funniest 100, 500 writers in the country in a room, and none of them come up with her little Cleveland
cell thing, right?
Yeah.
Terry said,
"Wow."
Just
brain didn't think that way.
Terry said, "Wow, talk about reading too much into a tweet." He also came back later and shared out a picture of himself working out that said "scary hours."
Yeah.
Now Mina also went back. She said, "It's done," and she shared a picture of the Scary Hours track list, which is a playlist, I think, on Spotify or Apple, one of them. The first track is called God's Plan. And if you go and look at Jarvis Landry's Twitter page, his Twitter handle is @God_Son80. So she is all in on him going to Cleveland this year. And I don't know that I can disagree with it. I don't even know that any of this necessarily means anything.
No, none of it means anything. It's just funny.
Certainly fun. I'll tell you that.
As a sports writer, and there's not a lot going on in your sport right now, instead of like one more hypothetical where's Watson going article or conversation you can have, let's do this. Let's take things that have nothing to do with football that these free agents or athletes are talking about and saying, and let's see how we can cleverly spin them into a web of what you think would be entertaining.
And it is certainly that. I mean,
I think it's really well done. I think it's good. I think this is what the internet's purpose was. Okay. is to find brains like this and get the things that come in their brain out for the world to hear and see and read.
Very much so. So
I believe that.
Now, why would he tweet mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell?
Like, I have no idea. Does he have kids? Is he helping somebody with the, you know, some science homework or whatever? Did he just go down some weird YouTube wormhole where he started learning about cells? Is somebody talking to him about HGH and how it affects your cells? And he's just like, why do we pick random things to think about and to do in the deep dive? Okay. I don't know. I got no idea. I'll tell you what I did for the 45 minutes before you were ready to come on. I was looking up YouTube videos on how to overcome fear of roller coasters because I am irrationally afraid, like, a phobic to a point where watching these and thinking about trying to get me on the roller coaster that I want to ride, which is not close to these things, scary wise, it got me so anxiety like I start crying. Like it, and this is me sitting in my chair right here watching my laptop, but thinking about crossing that line of I'm not doing that too. I have to do that because the next time we go to Disney World, my daughter wants to ride these two roller coasters.
Which two?
They're family friendly ones. They're not even that bad. It's the new Slinky Dog ride,
okay,
and Toy Story, and the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay.
And we have talked about, oh yeah, we'll ride them, and I watch them on YouTube, and they're no big deal. And then you get there and you see them in person, and I just tell her, nope, nope, it ain't happening. But now I'm at a point where you got to nut up. You're a dad, okay? You can't just tell her no the rest of her life. You can't teach her to not be afraid of things and to face your fears in life. And then she sees that you have this one crippling fear that you're just not willing to face.
It's funny that you bring up the YouTube stuff, because one of the questions that I've got that I want to start asking people that we jump on with that have interviews with us and whatnot, I want to ask them what YouTube rabbit holes they've been down. That's one that, so I've got friends that live across the country, and every Friday night we have a Zoom call that we all just get together and shoot the shit and whatever. And that's one of the questions that gets brought up frequently. All right, what YouTube rabbit holes have you been down? Like, what are you trying to research now? You bring up the roller coaster stuff. My daughter, the last time we took her to Disney, I had not been on a roller coaster since I was 18 years old, and we did the Barnstormer at Disney, and it's so just
like
a little,
an easy one, right? That's yeah. like the smallest roller coaster there, yeah. Right?
It's like 60 seconds. It's not. It's yeah. Goofy's thing, but yeah. I was terrified to do it, you know, for a long time, and she really wanted to ride it, and I said, okay. Like, all right, I really don't want to do this, but okay, we'll knock it out and we'll try it. And it really was not that bad. Like I think you'll be fine with it. Casey said, I never used to have anxiety at all. Never really believed in it. Since last year, I've developed a panic disorder, and he said it is hell. My life hasn't been the same in over a year. I've still not gotten used to it. Yeah, anxiety is a real thing, man.
The thing is, there are things that trigger it. Okay. Like we know we like to use the word trigger to make fun of people who are weak. Okay.
Yeah.
But I can go throughout my day, my life for months and years and feel fine and never feel. And then I have an irrational fear of roller coasters, heights and roller coaster, probably a lot in that together. And then snakes. That's it. Now, heights and roller coasters, I will at least do things to an extent. I've never gotten on a roller coaster, but like I'll ride Splash Mountain. Like I know it's got the one big drop. I know it does, but I'm okay. I can, I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to whine, bitch and moan all the way through it. That's what I do, but I'm going to do it. I will not face my fear of snakes because there's no reason to. There's no reason for me to not be able to go my entire life and never be confronted with a snake. That's perfectly acceptable. I live in a suburb. I don't live in the woods.
I don't know. You got some woods back behind your house, man.
No, we don't. That's another guy's backyard behind my house.
Really? That's because you've had to deal with raccoons and shit. Like, why?
Well, yeah, we got raccoons. Raccoons ain't woods, man. Raccoons live where food is.
No, that's a valid point.
They don't live in the woods. They come to the city to get food.
My buddies that lived out in the Bay Area, they just moved to Tahoe. And they had their first bear experience. So they're garbage
not about, like we go to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge all the time. And like we'll there'll be signs up in the cabin area that we're staying in if there's like been like recently a bear sighting, to tell people like be on alert. Like there are bears out and they've been spotted in this area. Please don't whatever. Like, I don't know why. I know that a bear will kill me and the snake that I see in my yard probably won't. Okay, I know that doesn't matter. It's not about life or death. It's not about, I know that I'm more likely to die in the car because I spend so much of my life in a car, and the roller coaster at Disney World ain't killed anybody, maybe ever. Okay. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. It's not about dying. Okay. I'm not afraid of dying. It's just this irrational fear that I have. This is one I have to get over.
Casey said his anxiety is bad. He said, some things trigger panic like large crowds, but I have anxiety on a daily basis, and it makes me dizzy. He said, I pray everyone gets cured that has this because it really is debilitating. Yeah, no. It's a
if you deal with daily anxiety, I can't say I've dealt with that, and I don't know what that is.
It's a rough deal. I'm very close with people that have had to experience it, and sometimes it just gets better. Sometimes it gets better with medication. Sometimes it's changing diet. I mean, there's all kind of different stuff, man, that can affect it. So it's just a chemical imbalance. You know, it's pretty crazy. I don't know how in the world we got on this. But either way, J.J. Watt has had a cryptic tweet, and we don't know if it means anything or not. Who knows? But if we do read anything into it, it means either Buffalo or Cleveland. So
somebody whatever. Should be able. We should have a reporter by now. Have because that tweet was 2 days ago. Should be able to say, "Hey, what were you doing? What does that mean?"
Well, that's if he wants to talk to anybody.
Oh, why wouldn't he tell somebody? Like if it really was cryptic, then he wouldn't answer. But if it's not, and he just a guy who went down a wormhole and was thinking about stuff, like, don't give us a taste. Give us the worm. Let us know. What were you doing?
Well, this is what he said over the weekend. Somebody responded to one of his tweets and said, "Yo, you want to sign somewhere or nah?" And he said, "I scrolled through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant, man." And he said, "You're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team in a city."
Yeah, so. No, I understand that. No, fans want to know right now, and I totally get him wanting to take his time. I'm not asking him to give me the answer to where he's going to sign. I'm asking him to tell me what the hell the tweet went.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
I think that's a fairly reasonable
question.
Yeah.
You're a high-profile person with millions of Twitter followers. You send out a one-line tweet with no explanation.
That has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't feel
This is totally random. What are you like a big science buff that we didn't know about? I mean, you know, that's okay if you are. I just tell us. Let us know.
Yes, I would love to know. And any kind of an answer. Any kind of an answer. Yeah. Let's, speaking of high-profile individuals, maybe not so much with millions of Twitter followers and whatnot, but the Mariners president, I guess now former president, Kevin Mathers, he resigned recently. Was it yesterday or the day before? I don't even remember. But I do know this. He was talking to a Rotary Club, and it's just, you know, fans of the Mariners, whatever, got pretty high-profile individuals that are in this club. But the meeting that he had was on Zoom, and it was being recorded. And the meeting got out to the public, et cetera, and this guy said some stuff. Like, obviously, there's the offensive stuff about guys that can't speak English and whatever else, but he got into some... It's stuff that you would never expect to hear. Like, in the NBA, you never hear anybody talk about tanking, right? Because it's very highly frowned upon. You can
they
get
all
fined.
They all do it. They do but it. They don't talk about it.
But he started talking about when the clock starts on the length of time that you have guys on not
bringing
calling
guys, when to bring guys up, and you're not going to have this guy come up. We know he's not going to be here because we're not going to start that clock. And he was honest about it, man.
You know, he was beyond. So why would you be that honest with a Rotary Club? Is there a good reason? Like, I feel like maybe he had to be drunk. Like,
maybe, but also,
he didn't sound drunk.
It could be a thing where a guy just wanted to tell the truth. Like, these guys are asking me questions, and you know what? Nobody does. Nobody tells the truth. And I'm just gonna be honest about how we run a ball club. And outside of his like, you know, like you talked about the things about having a problem with the players, who can't speak English or not. Look, dude, you're in baseball, all right? This ain't the NFL, and this ain't the NBA, okay? I would venture to say that 50% of the people are either from Hispanic countries or Korean, Asian countries, all right? A large, large portion of the population of your sport doesn't speak English as their first language. So he was really proud of the fact that he was really cheap, the organization was cheap.
Talking about Kyle Seager being overpaid, talking about how they're probably not going to keep him past next year. Like,
that stuff I don't care about. Like, all the baseball stuff that he was just bluntly honest that nobody would talk about, I actually appreciate, all right? Because if you can't take it to say that I signed you this contract, look, I have to pay you the money. I don't have to like it, all right? You got me. You got me over a barrel. You got the contract. I overpaid you. You're not worth the money. Congratulations to you. Do I have to go to the media and be proud of that? Do I have to go to the media and talk about that like it's a good thing? No, I have no problem with him going to the media and telling them, and this wasn't even media, but telling anybody, yeah, that was a bullshit contract. We lost on that deal. Yeah. Or you know, hey, we got a really good deal on this guy. This guy doesn't know his value.
Or the TV contract that they got.
Yeah, the TV contract. Like, that's fine.
Pay the TV contract.
But that's
deal.
Fine.
For those that don't know, the TV contract stuff was, he said that they were not worth the TV contract that they got. And that
well, he just said it's a better deal for us than it is for them.
Yeah. And I don't know how you say that when it can go out in the public. That's insane. That's all of this stuff that we don't have a problem with. I don't have a problem with him saying any of this stuff. Like, I enjoy the honesty. What yeah. I'm surprised at is the fact that he actually said it in a public forum, like with people that he does not know personally. That's what's crazy.
I just think these guys get to a point where they're tired of playing games. They're tired of bullshitting people. Everybody knows what's going on in these sports.
Yeah.
I kind of have an appreciation outside of the fact that the guy seems to be an asshole about being real proud about how he kind of cheats his person, like the people that work at the stadium and yes. shit like that. Like, and being, you know, you've signed this pitcher that's, you know, you're paying $5 million to, but $75,000 a year, he has to have a translator and you don't want to pay the $75,000 for his translator anymore. Like, all right. Like that's the kind of stuff that he should be catching shit for. And instead we're all enamored with the fact that, holy crap, he's talking about every one of these presidents is doing exactly what he's doing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They're all doing it. All right. They're not doing the asshole stuff that he's doing, but the way he's running his team, you know, the Cubs openly didn't bring Chris Bryant up. Remember that?
Yep.
And we were waiting to start his clock or whatever. And, you know, but they couldn't say that. They had to say, well, we don't think he's ready. We don't think he's ready. But because they were all being cagey with it. Stop being cagey. This is a business deal, guys. This is the Players Association and the owners agreed to this contract situation. All right. If you don't want the clocks to start at a certain time, if you don't want service time to be adjusted based on when they come to the NBA, the big leagues, then change the cooperation league rules. Okay. Then let's change those rules. All right. But while the rules are there, we're going to play by the rules we got. And that means I either get to control this guy for 5 years if I don't bring him up until the middle of the year or the end of the year, or I get to control him for 4 years if I bring him up right away. I think he's the goods. I don't think we're going to win right now. So I'm going to wait until the end of the season to bring him up. Tough yeah. shit. You don't like it? Change the rules.
Yeah, we're all doing it. I would agree with that. Outfielder Jared Kelenic, a top prospect for the Mariners, he has come out publicly saying that his service time is being manipulated by the Mariners. I mean, it was pretty obvious. He talked about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he and the MLBPA are discussing filing a grievance. And
they can file all the grievances they want. The language is allowed in the rules, okay? Like, you can't say, like, if you're the first-round draft pick this year in the NFL, in the second and the third round draft pick, basically the salaries, since they changed the salary structure to where it used to just be first round draft picks could get like $30 million deals. And they realized, okay, that was dumb. We have to change this rule. Like there's a salary scale now. You don't get to argue that. You can say, oh, well, I'm grossly underpaid. I should be paid more. Even as a rookie, I'm worth more. No, doesn't matter. That this is the rules we agreed to in the collective bargaining. Okay. So this is, you know, you can not like it, but you can't sue me for more money. You can't, you know, I guess you could, you're just going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what the MLB is going to do with this. Because if they do file grievances and you've got on tape, this guy admitting to doing this, then you know, I don't know what happens there because it is in the rules that you can do it.
You can do it. There's nothing in the rules that says you can't collude to not do it. What is collusion? You're the team. It's not like you're colluding with four other teams to hold his value back. You're the president. You control all player personnel moves.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes, I'm keeping you down to control your value. This is the deal that was collectively bargained by the PA. Now the PA doesn't like it. That's fine. When the deal is up, let's renegotiate a new deal. But right now, I'm going to play under this deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody does it. Just nobody has the balls to come out and say what this guy said.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to crush him for saying all the crap bluntly that all baseball guys are doing. I think the guy's an asshole because he doesn't want to pay his people. And I'm not talking about millionaire players. I'm talking about people that come to the ballpark that work for $8 an hour in tips. Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't want to give them parking spots. Like that,
you know, I'm talking about how you're willing to go get a player that, you know, and pay them millions of dollars and their translator makes $75,000 a year and you don't want to pay that. But, you know, because that player can speak English. Yeah, they can to communicate with you the best they can, but that's not their first language. Like, that's not how they want to communicate. And they're more apt to make mistakes and things that they're going to say. Hell, this is my first language, and I say shit wrong all the time. I don't know any other languages, and I still misuse this one.
Yeah.
And I'm not nearly as public as any of these professional ball players are. So.
Now, you're right about that. Damian jumps in. He said, what's up? John Carter said it's 75 in Clemson today and it's not raining. Michael Curtis, that was in response to Michael Curtis jumping in. He said, I'm enjoying 50 degree weather up in New Hampshire today. He's pretty excited about that. So, yes, very exciting times. Everybody feels like has pretty decent weather around the United States right now. And that is a far cry from what it was last week. I'm dealing with sinuses and all kind of mess because it was 10 degrees last week and now it's almost 70. So, just ridiculous. We will close out today's show. We've already been on this for 45 minutes, but let's go ahead and close out with an interesting story that we found just before you and I went live, and that is a Czech free diver, broke a Guinness World Record when he swam for a distance of 265 feet under the ice of a frozen lake. It said David Vinchel held his breath for 1 minute and 35 seconds while swimming under the ice at a lake in Lahost. He was doing it for a Guinness World Record. Chris, I want to know, one, why, what is it about Guinness World Records that is such a big deal?
I don't know. I've actually never found them to be very interesting.
I don't understand what the deal is with, like, is there pay that comes along with this?
I actually don't think there is.
Like, I think
you get like a certificate and that's it.
Like your name ends up in a book that nobody's going to read.
Yes.
And I don't understand it. Now, no. I'm also curious, how would you train for this?
I mean, just swimming in cold all the time. And there are people that do this. So the cold actually is the part that doesn't even bother me so much because I know enough and listen to enough people that like do cold plunges now that it's a thing that it's normal. Like we are trying to save up for a pool. Now we're several years away from probably being able to save up for a pool, but I would like a pool simply because after the summer is over, I like to swim and it's one of the easier ways to get a lot of exercise for me without my joints hurting because I'm so big. But also like doing cold plunges is one of the healthiest therapeutic thing you can do. Okay. And I listen to a lot of people that do them religiously. They leave their pool open all year long and every day they go out, they walk in the pool, they get their head all the way underwater, they get up, then they swim one lap, swim to the deep end, go down, touch the bottom, come back up, swim out, walk out of the pool. And every day they do it. And it's been shown to like really, really do a lot with like brain degenerative diseases, like preventing or fighting like the causes of dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that.
Yeah. It's the same thing with cold showers and, ice baths, like football players do that.
But I'm going to tell you, like, it's cold shower. Like, so I listen to a lot of these folks. Cold showers are nothing. Like, it's just not, you need to be submersive. So the cold part of him getting in there and doing that, I mean, I literally listen to two different guys that do a podcast every day. And now they don't talk about this every day, but it's something that comes up, I don't know, every couple of months or whatever. And they're not connected. They're not related. They're not they're not one another's podcasts, and in no world do they, you know, fall in the same Venn diagram, but they just happen to every now and then bring up, you know, that they both have pools and they leave them open all year long. They don't use heaters and they go in them every day, religiously every day. And in the summer times and in the spring when it's warmer, they do ice baths. But they're like, the ice bath just isn't the same. It's harder to get your whole body submerged because, you know, they're 6 foot three and you know, whatever. But the ice part is no big deal. The part that's impressive to me is being able to swim that distance without coming up for air. That's a long way, minute and a half to hold your breath. Now, I think you could train yourself to do that. I don't know how long it would take me to train myself to do that, but, you know.
His support team, by the way, had to verify that the ice on the lake was at least 11.8 inches thick, which was a Guinness requirement.
I don't understand that. Like, Guinness is going to say the ice has to be almost a foot thick. Like, the water's not any colder underneath there, okay? Like, if the ice is 6 inches thick.
I mean, it's
the water's the same. The water's the same thickness, the same cold. Water can only get so cold before it turns into ice.
I don't understand any of it. Now, Damien brought up people jump in Lake Michigan here in Chicago during the winter just for a charity cause. Yeah, the polar bear plunge is a thing across the country.
People do it all the time.
That's totally reasonable. Like, polar bear plunge, you jump in, then you climb right back out. That's one thing. Yeah. I don't know I'd be swimming under ice.
So, Adam Carolla is one of the guys that does cold plunges, okay?
Yeah.
And he talks about how once you get in and you're totally submerged, being in it for, you know, that 30 seconds and jumping out and being in it and swimming to the other end, going down to the deep end, touching the bottom of the pool, coming back up, swimming all the way out and being in it for 2.5 minutes is no big, like there's no difference. Your body's not more cold or whatever. Once you're in it, your body does a weird shock, you know, kind of thing, but then you get acclimated pretty quickly. The human body is just a pretty impressive thing. It really is. Yeah. And then him being in it for a minute and a half, are basically 2 minutes because he's got to get down in it first before he goes under. You know, you're talking about nothing.
Okay. I can see that.
It's really cold. I couldn't go out there and do it tomorrow. I couldn't make the swim that long, but I think if you do 1 year of cold plunging, if you cold plunge every day for 1 year, you can handle the cold. And outside of being able to hold my breath, as long as like, because I saw like little holes cut in the ice, like every so many feet. Like if I could swim to that little portal and come up and take a breath and then swim to the next portal and take a breath, I think in 1 year of training for that, I could do it. First I got to have ice that would hold my fat ass up. But after that, like it's the cold is just a point where, and the dude lives in Czech. Okay.
Yeah.
Like he's in the Czech Republic. Right? It's not like this guy lives in San Diego.
No, that's true. That's true.
Right. He's not coming from Uganda.
Hey, right? Damien wants to know why there are record books in sports. I don't have
that's how you measure the game. I mean,
you measure the greatest by.
Is he making fun of your why did the Guinness Book of Records exist?
No, and it's saying, I'm not so much worried about why the Guinness Book of World Records exists. I'm more curious about why some of these things are being measured. Like I just don't like the 11.8 inches thick. Like why? Like what difference does it make?
And who came up with that standard?
Yeah, that's the other part of this is, I mean, it makes no sense. So here's the other part of this. He swam 265 feet. He beat the current record of 250 feet, which was set by Danish swimmer Stig Avall Severinsen in 2013. Somebody else had already done this.
Well, yeah.
How did they come up with things to put in this book?
So you first have to call them and tell them I'm doing this. Okay. I heard of somebody trying to do something and they literally just called the Guinness Book of World Records and said, I need you to come. I'm going to attempt this. And then somebody from Guinness like came over and watched them try to do their thing. And it was a thing that had never been done before. So it's not like somebody else did it and I'm trying to beat that. It was the first time that, so I don't even know, like, if you create something, you know, yeah, say I'm going to eat 50 cupcakes in 5 minutes, you know, or whatever. Like, nobody's ever even tried that. That's not in the Guinness Book of Records anywhere. But like, if you called Guinness and was like, hey, I'm going to try to do this, I think I can do this. Like, you've got to call them. They've got to agree to do it. Then they're going to set up a time and then you got to get everything together and they're going to film it, videotape it, and somebody's going to watch it from there, kind of deal. But I don't, you know, I don't know. They're trying, I'm sure Guinness is trying to stay relevant.
I guess
in the,
so.
In the world where things change every day, I'm sure they're just trying to stay relevant.
That would make sense to me. All right, let's go on and get out of here. We've gone about an hour. So you guys have been fantastic. Thank you to everybody that jumped into the chat. Of course, if you missed some of the live show, make sure that you grab the podcast, leave a nice 5-star review. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. You can find everything you need to know about us over there, everywhere to subscribe, follow, whatever. And, of course, our gambling content, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. That's all of our college football news and notes and gambling and whatnot. FCS, of course, going strong. We have a new video over on YouTube. Just search out SBR Picks. You can find it right there. Or we've got a playlist on our YouTube channel. You can go find it over there. Video is out now. And yeah, we'll be sharing that out on Twitter, all that good stuff. So you can always find us there as well. Chris, is there anything else we need to dive into?
That's it, brother.
That is it. All right, you guys have been great. We appreciate you being here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And hopefully we can all cash some tickets this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com. Or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.